Real life, how are you this morning? I'm hopefully I'm going to be okay. I'm preaching, so I better be able to stand on my own two feet and get this word out to you, right? Those lights are awfully bright. I don't know. I'm beginning to understand why you like to use this, Corey, because those lights are bright. How many of you were here last week? So you got to listen in, if you were here, on the conversation that Corey and I had about Psalm 51 and about David and the sin that he committed and the forgiveness that he received from God. But let me ask you a question. You ever confess your sin, receive God's forgiveness, and then continue to feel guilty, unable to forgive yourself? I think that happens to us quite often. We confess our sins, we know that God forgives us, but yet we can't forgive ourselves. And that's kind of the way we find David. Last week in Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, David acknowledged God's steadfast love and his abundant mercy, confessed and repented of his sin. He said, "Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And remember, last week we defined what transgression, iniquity, and sin is all about. Sin is simply to fall short or to miss the mark. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who said it's like doing archery practice. You're shooting at the target, but you fall short. The arrow falls short. And sin can be a sin of omission, which means we know that there's something that we ought to do that we don't, or it can be a sin of commission, which means there are things that we shouldn't do that we do. And so David committed sin. He said, "Thoroughly cleanse me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Then he committed a transgression as well. A transgression is to choose to intentionally disobey. It's willful defiance of God's standard. Requires more forethought than sin, but usually is followed by repentance. You know, David intentionally sent for Bathsheba and had this affair with her. And so he committed a transgression with Bathsheba because it was intentional. And then finally, there's the iniquity. It's by far the most serious of the three types of sin. It's deeply rooted within us. It is a premeditated choice, often continuing without repentance. So this was the death of Uriah was premeditated. David planned for it. Remember, we talked about how he called Uriah in and tried to trick him to go and be with his wife so that he could be seen as the father of the child. And yet Uriah was one of David's mighty men, and he chose to sit outside his own house and not go into his wife because his soldiers were out in the field. And so David committed a transgression there. So iniquity leads to a state of willful sin with no fear of God. David committed all three. He committed a sin, he committed transgression, he committed iniquity. But the good news is God will and can forgive any sin that we confess and repent of, including those iniquities that are a part of our life. In our reading today, we're going to look at verses 3 through 6. We're going to see that after his affair with Bathsheba, after the consequent pregnancy, after the murder of Uriah, and the confrontation of the prophet Nathan, that sin and transgression and iniquity is still weighing very heavily on David's heart. As we look at Psalm 51, verses 3 through 6, he says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." So David, it's his transgression, his iniquity, his sin is still very heavy on his heart. And so what I want to do today is to talk about how we approach God and how we receive that forgiveness and how we are able to forgive ourselves. So first of all, we need an understanding of our condition. David begins with a confession that we all understand. He says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." In a world filled with distractions and noise, we often carry the weight of our sin and our failures. David said, "I know that my transgression and my sin is ever before me." But you and I live in a very busy, very noisy world, and in that busy, noisy world, we can lose sight of the fact that there is sin in our life, and we just carry the weight of that sin around with us. One of the things that we need to do is prayer invites us to acknowledge that sin. David acknowledged his sin. Prayer allows you and me to acknowledge our sin, not to dwell in guilt, not talking about dwelling in guilt, but to confront the truth of our condition. Take an honest step in our relationship with God and confess that sin, to acknowledge it and confess it before God Almighty. When we come before God in prayer, we don't need to hide. David didn't hide. He had committed terrible sins, and yet he came before the Lord and confessed. Just as David openly admits his sin, we are called to bring our struggles into the light. So I came across the saying I'd like him to put up on the screen this morning, and it's this: God already knows our hearts. He desires our willingness to be vulnerable. That's what God desires. When we come to Him and we acknowledge our sin and we confess our sin, we're saying, "God, here am I. I am a sinful man, and I stand before You, and I want to receive Your forgiveness, Your mercy, and Your love." And so God already knows our hearts. He desires our willingness to be vulnerable. So we begin by understanding our condition. Secondly, we understand the weight of sin. We need an understanding of the weight of sin. David acknowledged that his sin is not just against Bathsheba and Uriah. He said, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." His sins are against God Himself. When we understand that our sin affects our relationship with God, we begin to understand the weight of sin and the importance of repentance. Yes, his sin affected Bathsheba and Uriah, but it also affected his relationship with God. Let's not shy away from admitting our sin. It's not about beating ourselves up or dwelling on it either, but it's about understanding God's love and mercy. When we confess our sins, we open the door to forgiveness. We know God will cleanse us and renew our spirit. So we need to understand the weight of sin. David expresses the reality of the human brokenness so that you may be justified and blameless in your judgment. He's saying to God, "I know that you are justified and blameless in your judgment because we are a sinful people. We are imperfect beings wrestling with our nature. We don't come to God as flawless beings. We come as we are, broken, needy, and longing for restoration." So the second sentence I'd like for him to put up is this: let us remember that prayer is not about presenting a polished version of ourselves, but rather offering our authentic selves to a loving and understanding God. Let us remember that prayer is not about presenting a polished version of ourselves, but rather offering our authentic selves to a loving and understanding God. So we begin by understanding our condition, we go to understanding the weight of sin, and then we need to come to understanding truth and wisdom. Boy, those lights are really bright. It makes it difficult to see my notes. David emphasized that God desires truth and wisdom for us. Have you ever think about that God desires for you and me to know truth and wisdom? He says, David expresses that God desires truth and wisdom for us. He says, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Prayer is not only about our words, but about the truth we hold in our hearts. So, you know, we can say a lot of words, but the truth that we hold in our hearts is what God is interested in. We need to understand truth and wisdom and what it is that God knows, already knows, as I said, already knows our heart. He wants us to be vulnerable. He wants us to be open. He wants us to be truthful with Him. Prayer deepens our relationship with God, allowing His wisdom to penetrate our thinking. So when we pray, we don't only speak, but we listen. In listening, we can hear God guide us toward truth and wisdom. This is where transformation happens. You know, the Bible says not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that transformation begins when we allow God to speak to us. When in prayer, we don't just speak, we listen. And God will speak. I know often, I shared last week as we were talking about our struggles with prayer, that oftentimes I'll sit down to pray and every other stinking thought in the world comes into my mind, and I have to bring myself back to center in on God. And so one of the things that God will do, He will lead us to wisdom and truth if we set before Him and listen and allow Him to speak to us. And it's not easy. I find it difficult myself, and I struggle with my prayer time. But as we see, David was open and honest with God, and he allowed God to lead him into wisdom and truth. And that God wants to do the same for you and me. He wants to lead us into wisdom and truth. And so one of the things that we need to do is come to I want to talk about a call to authentic prayer. A call to authentic prayer. I think as Christians, one of the things I've said, there are two things that we often struggle with as Christians: evangelism and prayer. You know, we all want to be better evangelists, and by evangelists I simply mean sharing the good news of the gospel with the lost world, and we all want to be better at prayer. We struggle with those two things, but God understands that struggle, and He's made a way for you and me to have that, to have a way to come to Him. He understands the brokenness. He understands our flaws, and He understands that we get distracted, but He says, just come to me. Come to me, and I will hear, and I will answer. And I want to encourage you this morning, come to a time of authentic prayer. Allow God to speak to you. Speak to Him about what's on your heart. And one of the things that's so encouraging, that I find encouraging, is that when we come together and we share with one another our prayer concerns, one of the things we also need to do is share our praises. Because when we have answered prayer, when we experience answered prayer, it encourages one another. I know I'm often encouraged by the answers of prayer that other people experience. And hopefully people are encouraged by the answers to prayer that I experience. You know, the one of the other things I want to say about prayer is that there have been prayers that I have prayed for years that God just seems to say, not right now. I've told people God answers prayer in multiple different ways. He says no. He says yes. He says, not right now. And sometimes God even says, I have a better idea. Well, let's not do it your way, let's do it my way. And so think about that when you're praying. God answers prayer in four different ways. No, yes, not right now, you're not quite ready for this, or I have a better idea. And you know, one of the prayers that I pray continually, and lift a lot of different things in prayer, not always in a formal setting where I'm sitting in the living room putting my, putting maybe on some praise music or reading a scripture, but wherever I am, sitting at the stoplight, sitting in the pew here at church, in the line at the grocery store. I pray in a lot of different places. And some of the prayers that I pray, I have been praying for years, and God doesn't seem to answer those. And I ask God, why is it, Lord, that I prayed about this, which seems like such a minor thing, and you answer that prayer readily, but when I pray about this, which seems to be a bigger issue in my life, for some reason you don't answer that particular prayer, not in the way that I want him to answer. What it seems to me he's been saying in that particular instance is, not yet. Because the situation hasn't changed. He hasn't said no yet. He hasn't said yes. He hasn't said, I have a better idea. He simply has said, not yet. And so I'm still waiting on God to answer that particular prayer. And hopefully one of these days he will. I do remember one morning when I was preaching at London Heights Baptist in Kansas City, that a younger man, I say younger, in his 40s, got up and came forward in the aisle in a Baptist churches. We always have an altar call, you know. And he came forward and received Jesus as his Savior and said, I want to be baptized. And his wife came up afterwards and told me, I've been praying for my husband for 10 years. And today is the day that God answered my prayer. And so authentic prayer is waiting upon God, allowing him to work in the way that he wants to work, and simply being open to his leading and guiding. As David said, he will lead us into wisdom. He will lead us into wisdom if we allow him. So as we reflect on these verses, let's seek to deepen our prayer life. May we approach God with honesty, recognizing our need for his grace. Let's cultivate a prayer life that acknowledges our sin. That's where it begins. We need to acknowledge our sin, celebrates God's mercy and steadfast love, and seeks his truth. David continues to seek the Lord in prayer. He needed to come to grips with his own forgiveness and recognize that. I want you to put up on the board, prayer is not only about confessing our sins, but also about seeking to align our hearts with God. So we're not just talking about confessing our sin, although Psalm 51 is a good example of confessing our sin. And I think that's the reason we decided to start with that, is because it is such, David's sin is so great in our eyes that we can't understand how God could possibly forgive. And yet David comes before God boldly and asks for forgiveness. Forgive my sin. Blot out my transgression. Cleanse me from my iniquity. And so David came before the Lord and confessed his sin to begin with. And so first of all, as we come to authentic prayer life, the first point I want to make is this. We need to practice self-examination. Practice self-examination. Regularly take time to reflect on your actions and attitudes. Ask God to reveal areas in your life that need his forgiveness. One of the things that we really, really need to do as we're going to come to an authentic prayer life is to practice self-examination. We need to be honest and open before God and let him know that we understand that he knows what's in our heart. As I said, he wants us to be vulnerable before him, to let him know that we are aware of our own sin and that we're ready and willing and able to confess that sin to him and to receive his forgiveness and then bring our prayers to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So we need to practice self-examination to know where we are in our relationship with God. Is my relationship with God real? Have I honestly received Jesus as my Savior? Am I seeking to follow after him? You know, I had the privilege of doing a baptism last Saturday morning in a swimming pool in Wichita for a woman who came to Jesus because of a funeral she had attended that I had done. But one of the things that I really was impressed about with her was that she understood herself. She understood that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She came to Jesus on her own sitting beside her swimming pool, looking inward at what was going on in her own life, and looking at the life of her friend who had passed away and the similarities that were there, and she recognized the sin that was in her life. She did some self-examination and came to the point of receiving Jesus. And now she is a prayer warrior for me. I regularly receive little notes or texts from her saying, I'm praying for you today. How are you doing today? What's going on in your life? This is what God's doing in my life. And she and I and Karen communicate regularly. But she came to the Lord out of some self-examination because she was convicted by the truth of God's word. So practice self-examination. Second, confess and repent. Once we've done that self-examination, we have to confess and repent. Don't be afraid to bring your struggles before God. Don't be afraid to bring your struggles before God. Nothing that you or I do or say can surprise God. He's not going to say, oh, wow, I've never thought of that. Or he's not going to say, oh, wow, your sin is just too big for me. God's not going to say that. Nothing that you and I can bring to him will surprise him. But it will let him know that we are open and willing to lay our hearts bare before him. So don't be afraid to bring your struggles before God. He comes to us with grace, mercy, love, and faithfulness. God comes to us with grace. Grace means I receive what I don't deserve. I receive salvation. Mercy means I don't receive what I do deserve, which is punishment. And God's love is always there. The Bible says God is love. And he is willing to love us and care for us and look after us and answer our prayer. And he is faithful. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't be afraid to bring your struggles to God. The minute you voice those struggles and put words to what's going on in your heart, God will forgive and cleanse. He is a God of love and forgiveness and mercy and love. He desires a relationship with you. And the third point in an authentic prayer life is to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Ask for understanding, discernment, guidance, and wisdom. You know, one of the things that I often do when I walk in the mornings is I pray to the Lord, because Karen and I are parents and grandparents, and I pray to God to give us wisdom and discernment in our roles as parents and grandparents, because they're such vital, important roles in our lives. And the grandchildren that God has given to us are our first and foremost priority. One of the things that Karen and I did during COVID was, I'm making a little confession here myself. One of the things that Karen and I did during COVID is we became certified as foster parents. And we thought we would go into the foster system and that we would have foster kids in our home. But one of the things that happened is that our kids didn't like that idea. And because we have 10 grandkids and most of them are right near us, and they didn't like the idea of us being foster parents. And so we had to think about that and pray about that and wonder, what is it, God, that you want us to do? And one afternoon I was having coffee in Newton with a pastor friend of mine, and I was talking to him about this, and it was weighing on my heart. And one of the things that Timothy said to me is, he said, you know that God gave you your grandchildren first. They are your first priority. And so Karen and I came away from that with, God has put these grandchildren in our lives for this period of time, and we're going to spend our time to the best of our ability helping our children raise their children. And so we need to seek wisdom. I think that God answered that prayer. As much as we had thought God had called us into the foster system, it seemed that as we reflected upon that, as we sought his face, that God called us first and foremost to take care of our family. And so one of the things that we do is we spend as much time and invest as much as we can into our children and grandchildren. And that's one of my chief prayers each and every morning, is God help Karen and myself to be good parents and to be good grandparents and to lead our family well. And so we seek wisdom. In James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So God will give us wisdom if we seek it. And I encourage you to ask him. I regularly ask for wisdom because I'm quite frankly not smart enough to know the answers to the questions that I have myself and to what I wonder what God wants me to do. And so seek wisdom in your prayer life. And then finally, embrace his faithfulness. Embrace his faithfulness. God desires a relationship with you. He, as a matter of fact, he desires a relationship with you so much so that he sent Jesus into the world to make a way for you and me to have a relationship with him. He wants a relationship with you. And you know, and if you think about the relationships that you have in your life, you have to be open and honest and be able to be vulnerable and to share with one another. I think about my relationship with my wife. If I'm not open and honest with her, if I don't have time for her, if I'm not available to her, not worship her, but if I don't give her some compliments along the way, she's going to soon wonder, do you really care for me? Do you love me? Are you interested in me? You know, God doesn't need anything from us, but he does want his children to come to him and to worship him and to praise him and to seek favor from him and to ask questions and to bring our struggles. You know, one of the things that I've often told people when I was pastor full time, he says, if you have a problem and you have a struggle and you haven't shared it with me, I'm going to be frustrated with you because I want to know what's going on in your life. So I can't help you. I can't be there for you if you don't share with me what's going on in your life. The same is true with God. He knows our heart, as I said, but he wants us to be vulnerable. He wants us to come before him and say, Father, this is what's going on in my life. How are you going to lead me? How will you guide me? What do you want me to do? What's the first step? Where am I headed in this, Lord? And so God is faithful. Embrace that faithfulness. In Lamentations, it says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, that's one of the verses that I kind of play over in my mind to myself is God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And just to remind myself that I can bring my struggles to him, that I can bring my needs, I can bring my concerns, I can bring whatever it is that's on my heart to him, and his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. He's going to be there and love me and care for me and provide for me. No matter what's going on in my life, God will be there. So let me say to you that prayer is a journey, one that leads to a deeper self-awareness, a clearer understanding of God's character, a heart transformed by his grace. So as you and I move forward, let's commit to being a people of prayer, willing to lay our hearts before God, seeking his wisdom, giving thanks for his steadfast love, mercy, and faithfulness. Just as David said, gave thanks to God for his steadfast love and abundant mercy, you and I can give thanks to God for his steadfast love and his abundant mercy. So I want to encourage you this morning. Prayer is a lifeline. Prayer is a lifeline. If you're looking for a lifeline in your life right now, prayer is that lifeline. It's the lifeline to God himself, our source of strength and our pathway to renewal. Reflect on what burdens you, what sins you carry, what truth God is calling you to confront. Invite God in and allow love to wash over you, renewing your spirit and guiding your heart. Prayer is a lifeline. God wants to hear from us, each and every one of us. Just as I want to hear from my children, God wants to hear from his children. And so I encourage you this morning to develop that authentic prayer life and allow God to speak to you. Think about David's life. all that went on in his life, the crazy things, and yet the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And I think the Bible says that because he sought the Lord. He confessed his sin. He came before God and said, I recognize I'm a sinner. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He was seeking the Lord. You know, I shared, I think, a week or two ago, or maybe last week, that at one point David said, reveal to me any hidden sin. And you know, when I think about that hidden sin, I don't think that it's God has hidden that sin away. I think that is sin that David has pushed down so far because he doesn't want to acknowledge it, that he's forgotten about it. And so he says to the Lord, reveal to me any hidden sin that I might confess that and be clean before you. So just let me encourage you. Let's help one another along in this journey. You know, we have a prayer time at 9:30 on Sunday mornings back in the room back down the hallway. And some Sundays we have just a few. Last Sunday, we had a room full of people. This Sunday we had about four or five of us there. But we just spend a little bit of time in prayer before the service, lifting up things that we need to share that are urgent, but primarily focused in on praying for this service and praying for the preacher who's going to preach. Who is me this morning, and next week will be Corey. But we need your prayer. I've struggled a little bit with this message for some reason. I don't know why. I'll just be honest with you. I've struggled a little bit with it. And so I asked the group this morning to pray for me as I'm wrestling with this. I'm not quite sure where God wants me to go with it. And sometimes as a preacher, you put together your notes and you get up on Sunday morning and you look down and you say, what in the world was I thinking? You know, where was I going with this, and what is God going to do with this? And so I would just encourage you, let's help one another along the way. Let's pray for one another. Don't be afraid to share with one another the concerns that are on your heart. Now, you know, share with people that you trust, and you don't have to share everything that's about going on in your life, but the important things that we need one another to pray for. I truly believe that if we have a community of faith that is really committed to prayer, that God's going to do great things. You know, one of the things that historians always say is every revival began in prayer. Every revival that's taken place began in prayer. So if you and I want to see a revival in this place, in Haverhill Elementary School building, real life Christian church, it's going to begin with prayer. And it's going to begin with you, and it's going to begin with me. So just let me encourage you. Let's be a people of prayer and be honest before God and honest before one another, and let him do his work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you this morning and that we can boldly approach your throne of grace because of what Jesus has done for us. I thank you for each and every person who is here. And I pray, God, for whatever is going on in our lives, that we will come to you and we will seek you and we will seek your wisdom and your guidance. Help us to be vulnerable before you, to lay out our heart as David did. He just cried out with all that was within him, the honesty of the terrible sin that he had committed, and he received your forgiveness. And the Bible says he became a man after your own heart. So, Lord, I just come before you this morning and ask you to help us to be a people of prayer, to begin to be convicted by the Holy Spirit that we need to pray for one another. And, Lord, I would just ask that when we tell someone we're going to pray for them, that we don't just wander off and not pray for them, but maybe even stop right then, right there in that spot, and pray for one another. I thank you for the prayer time we had last Wednesday. And Lord, we're looking for you to do great things as a result of the prayer time around this stage last Wednesday evening for Lainey. And we just ask your healing for her today, Lord, and that you would just touch her body as the great physician and bring healing. She's a part of our community, Lord, someone that we love deeply. And we're asking you, Lord, to touch her and to bring healing. I lift Corey to you, Lord, and for the leadership team, that you would give them your wisdom and your guidance and your direction and discernment as they lead real life. And God, we're asking for you to send a revival, and let it begin with us as we commit ourselves to prayer. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.